Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today, and if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Tom Sullivan is our guest. He's our good friend. He's chief counsel for advocacy over at the U.S. Small Business Administration, and he is our good friend. Tom Sullivan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back, and the Office of Advocacy is a very important organization to me and to small business owners. And I like having you on the show, Tom, besides the fact that you're very smart and a really cool guy and a father-to-be. Besides all those cool things, I wanted you on the show because I want my audience to know about the Office of Advocacy. And I want you to take a moment and tell them why it's such an important organization.
Well, thanks, Jim. I mean, we're only important based on the amount of work we do trying to fight for small business. I mean, every day we walk the halls of government here in Washington, D.C., and stress how important it is for more small business owners to have access to health care and lower their tax burden. And so that's what we're doing every day. We health care
and fight
taxes,
and fight the regulations, too. Don't forget
that.
Yeah,
I think that's third in the big three. We've got health care, taxes, and then that giant behemoth or that pressure that small business owners feel every day on the overburdensome or sometimes unnecessary regulations, and we are.
I think of them like Pac-Man. The regulations that keep eating us up.
Well, you know, we sure are lucky to have the person at the control of the giant Pac-Man game, the President of the United States, and he's trying to eat up as much of those rules and regulations as possible so that small businesses can do what they do best, and that is hire folks for good jobs and put money back into the economy.
One of the ways that I like to describe the Office of Advocacy, folks, as you may have heard me say before, is because there is an Office of Advocacy and because there is somebody like Tom Sullivan who's out there up there fighting for us, every time any member of Congress, any committee, any group are getting together to do anything that affects you or me, they have to run it by Tom. And if they don't, he goes and finds them and he says, why didn't you run this by me? I mean, that's your mandate, isn't it?
It is. And, Jim, we love to think of ourselves as the white knights for small business. And while we are trying to push back on regulatory mandates, we're also trying really to inform the policymakers here in Washington, D.C. and in every state capital around the United States. What are those important policies that leaders should pay attention to help small business? And right now we really are pushing out a lot of economic studies to really bring home the importance of the economic engine of the United States, which is small business.
Well, absolutely. And the reason this is important, folks, is because, believe it or not, there are a lot of people in Congress who don't understand how the economy works. And if they don't understand how the economy works, they don't understand the importance. They don't understand what Tom just said, which is how important small businesses are to the national and the global economy. And that's one of the things that Tom does. And that's one of the reasons why I'm proud he's up there. Tom, one of the studies that you guys have recently produced is the effects of the marginal rates on entrepreneurship. Tell us about that.
Well, Jim, you know
marginal tax rates, I should say.
Yeah, Jim, you know that the president has an advisory panel right now looking at the tax code and, more importantly, looking at how we can change the tax code and simplify it so that small business owners don't have to tear their hair out leading up to every April 15th. And what we have tried to contribute to this debate and to advise that panel on is if you reduce the overall marginal tax rates, you see a definitive rise in entrepreneurial activity. And with that rise in entrepreneurial activity, you see more people going back into the workforce, working for small business, or quite frankly, Jim, starting their own small business. And so we put contracted with a research firm out of Tennessee, some economists down there who actually were able to put in writing exactly what happens when you reduce the marginal rates. And I don't think it would surprise any of your listeners, Jim, that when you do reduce the overall rates, you see a surge in entrepreneurial activity. Now, Connie Mack, who chairs the President's Advisory Panel, was very interested in seeing this study, and I think it's added evidence that you can simplify the tax code and build up the strength of the small business sector of the United States.
Well, and that's what, when we come back after these messages, I want to show you actually have some numbers that I want you to give us. It's very interesting, folks, about how entrepreneurship increases, how the number of people who start businesses and who do well in their businesses increases every time someone drops the marginal rates by 1%. Tony Taylor, stay with us. We'll be right back with Tom Sullivan.
You have to go on and do it all day.
Anniversary, baby, got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby, got you on my mind.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Tom Sullivan, happy anniversary. It's our third anniversary of your first visit on the show.
Oh, well, thank you, Jim. We're also coming up with a third anniversary of the president releasing the small business agenda. So I think it all fits together nicely.
Well, you know, we try to keep these things coordinated. You know, the president and I talk all the time, and we try to make sure we keep our schedules coordinated.
Well, that's the way it should be, Jim.
Tom, you were talking about this research that you guys did. You commissioned to identify the effects of marginal tax rates up or down on the up or down success of entrepreneurship. And tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, let's just continue on the anniversary theme. What this research showed is for married entrepreneurs, folks who are married, when you see a 1% reduction in your marginal tax rates, this research shows that entrepreneurial activity doubles. You see twice as many married people jump into that entrepreneurial American phenomenon and start a business. So you get a two-for-one there. You know, one down, you talked about Pac-Man earlier, you know, one down and two new businesses. So just as simple as a 1% marginal tax rate cut, you get twice as many married folks jumping in to really living the American dream, and that is starting their own business. So we were able to measure that. This researcher, Dr. Donald Bruce from down in Knoxville, Tennessee, was able to look at IRS data to see not only from a modeling perspective on how it could work, but then actually compare it against actual tax information, obviously scrubbed out of any confidential information. But, Jim, look at actual tax data to see that, in fact, that did happen when you see tax rate reductions, that there was a boost in entrepreneurial activity. Then he turned it around and modeled out what happens if you raise the rates, and what happens if you raise the rates, more folks stay in their secure jobs with larger business and are very reluctant to then jump out and start their own entrepreneurial venture. And when that happens, you see job creation start stagnating. You don't see the new firms start being born as much as you do when you lower the marginal tax rates.
Well,
that's what the research showed.
Let me throw some anecdotal research in there of my own, Tom, if you
don't
mind.
I don't mind at all.
I'll pollute you're really good at researching my anecdotal stuff, but when I asked, and folks, this will give you, if you're wondering, well, how does that actually happen? How does it work? Tom, I ask small business owners all the time, and I've actually done this all over the world, not just in the United States. When I ask them, if the government gave you back a dollar of the taxes that you have paid before, what would you do with that dollar? And every person, without blinking, without hesitation, without exception, has said, I would put it back in my company. Tax dollars that we have to pay, if we didn't pay taxes, they would become capital in our business that we would use to buy goods, and we would make payroll, and we would invest in our company. That's the real live rubber meets the road thing, folks.
Hey, Jim, you have just pointed out, one of the driving forces of the Social Security reform that the president is trying to educate America about. Mm-hmm. Because part of this whole reform is the realization that people who are self-employed, we're talking about half of the small business population, Jim, close to 12 million self-employed small businesses. They're socking away 12.4% of their income into accounts that now it's embarrassing to even call it security because it's not security.
Right.
And what happens when you are able to designate part of that 12.4% into an interest-bearing account? And you just told me what will happen.
That's right.
What will happen is when those self-employed retire, they will reinvest some of that money back into the business. So their sons and daughters who've grown up in a family where the small business owner will then be able to see that money reinvested, and that ownership of a business then passes on from generation to generation. You've just hit on one of the focal points of why Social Security reform is so important for small business. So thank you.
Well, and of course, the thing is this is small business 101 what we're talking about here. This is not something that has to be taught. This is not something that has to be learned. If you're a small business owner, this is second nature to you. And as I said, Tom, I've asked this question of people in other countries. Whenever I've traveled overseas, I interview small businesses when I go over there, and I ask them this question, and without exception, without a hesitation, they always say, "I'll put it back in the business." What that tells me is it's not just an American thing. It's human nature.
Yeah.
And it's human nature for people to want to own things, to want to be owners. And that's the reason why, Tom, I support the president's initiative to fix Social Security for the long term, to make it more of an ownership type of a system. And Tom, listen, way back in the early 1970s, when I realized how much I was paying into Social Security, I realized that I didn't think I would ever get it out. I would ever get this money back. And I remember 30-something years ago saying to myself, and anybody would listen, look, I'll sign an affidavit. Let me put this in my own account. I'll sign an affidavit that you won't owe me anything after this. And, of course, I was 30 years ahead of my time, Tom.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. And then there's big doings going on in Washington, D.C., that Chad Moutre, chief economist at Tom's shop there at the Office of Advocacy, is having a big economic summit on Monday. And I want him to tell us about that. And that's coming up right after these messages. It's 10 till. Stay with us.
Balanced on the precipice, the moment must reveal.
We're back at 7 till, little Steely Dan for you. What a great band. Tom Sullivan, that's Tom on drums, by the way. Tom is the chief, he's the advocate, folks. He is in charge of the Office of Advocacy and the chief counsel over there, and does a great job. And of all the chiefs of advocacy that they've had, he's the best that I've ever seen. And Tom, thank you for all you do for small business.
Thanks, Jim.
Give us your website, please.
SBA.gov/ADVO. Again, that's SBA.gov/ADVO for advocacy. And Jim, I'll promise all your listeners, they go to the trouble of logging onto that site, and we'll make sure that it's new information, fresh information, and usable information.
Good stuff, really good stuff, folks. I know when we say research, sometimes you think, "Oh boy, that'll put me to sleep." But I'll tell you, you'll find some eye-opening information there, that especially if you're thinking about starting a business, that you can use there. Tom, I am an unabashed, absolute, so total supporter of privatizing Social Security, and people can accuse me of being a Bush supporter because of that. But let me tell you something, I was a supporter of privatizing Social Security when Mr. Bush was in college, and so So I've been doing this a long time. What I want you to tell us is if anybody out there agrees with me and you about this issue and Mr. Bush about this issue, what can they do?
Well, Jim, I think that you represent just such a tremendous volume of people, and that is folks, business owners and entrepreneurs who have children, because mm-hmm. that's what it's about. It's about recognizing that the term security, as it relates to Social Security, is gone, and that something must be done to provide for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who realize that, it is essential for them to write their members of Congress. You write their members of Congress, and you say, please, take the president's leadership, follow the president's leadership, and institute real reform that will allow for me to make decisions on what happens with my money so that I can reinvest that into my business and help pass on the American dream to my children.
Exactly. Absolutely. Tom, let's change the subject for a second and talk about what's going on Monday. Tell us about it.
Well, on Monday, we are excited about bringing Main Street common sense to Washington, D.C. That's rare when that happens, Jim, but we're able to do that on Monday. We've got economic...
Are you going to charge admission to watch that? I think you should.
I think we should charge admission from Washington, D.C. folks.
That's right.
To be able to sit back and actually have reality and common sense come to Washington, D.C., because on Monday we are going to have people from all over the United States who have worked with state leaders to bring economic development to their state capitals here to Washington, D.C., to share best practices. We've got folks who have removed regulatory barriers from state rules in Wisconsin coming here to Washington, D.C. We've got our neighbors to the north in Maryland. They're going to come to Washington, D.C. to share with other leaders how tech transfer, high-tech incubators can actually phase out of government funding and phase into private sector funding to not only spur innovation and entrepreneurship, but also to put money back into their state coffers. I mean, we're looking at a whole sea change of economic development initiatives that put the burden and the responsibility on the private sector instead of relying on public money in order to generate job growth and innovation and building communities. So we're excited. We've got state leaders from all over the United States coming here to present economic development initiatives, market-based economic development initiatives, and we will be publishing that right in time for the SBA Expo. Jim, and mm-hmm. you're going to be here in Washington,
right.
D.C. That SBA Expo starts April 25 here in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. I'm going to be broadcasting from there all week long. And two of our Brain Trust members are going to be part of the Monday experience. Zoltan Ach is going to be there, and he's going to be on the show on Tuesday to tell us what happened. And then a little bit later, Karen Kerrigan, who's going to be one of the panelists on Monday, is going to be on the show to tell us how her panel went. That's going to be in about a week or so. Tom Sullivan, again, thank you for all you do for small business. Keep up the good work, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Jim.
Tom Sullivan, ladies and gentlemen, the chief counsel for advocacy at the Office of Advocacy over in the SBA building, and he's one of the best folks. And you and I are better off in our small businesses because Tom Sullivan is on the job. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.